The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Then Peter said to him in reply, We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The Gospel of the Lord. These first and last sayings, I think, are intended to have us puzzling over what Jesus is doing in his preaching. And I think this, when we have this particular one, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first, we can push back into the scene and see at least a couple of opportunities where this applies. I'm not sure that we see both of them, so I want to make sure that we do. The first is that this passage here is coming, it's following on from Jesus' encounter with the rich young man. Right? And he says, what must I do to complete the set, right? Like, what must I do? What series of checkboxes do I have to, what kind of things do I have to take care of in order to have my proper place in the world that is to come, or in God's kingdom, and this kind of thing. And he goes away very unhappy because he has a lot. He has a lot of possessions, right? You have more possessions than he does. Anyway, so this, this is my first accusation. Okay, fine. This is it. This is the first one. Many who are first will be last. The rich man, on being called by Jesus to give everything away, to sell everything, give to the poor and follow him, he goes away sad. He's got a lot of stuff. Sounds like he's not going to do it, right? So he looks first, right? He looks like he's first. Successful. He's a successful man. And he'll be last. But there's another occasion for the application of that principle in this passage, I think. And this is when Peter says to Jesus in reply, right, the sheer shock of the reversal of fortunes that Jesus is prophesying or bringing to life even better. Peter says, we've given up everything, followed you. What will there be for us? I could imagine Jesus saying, nothing. Nothing. There's nothing for you. Right, again, it's first and last and last and first. We've given up everything. We've given up everything to follow you. What is there in this for us? Nothing. He has to say it. Why? Because Peter, right, in his ego-inflating self, in his whether or not ego inflation is a matter of, like, pushing out a matter of pride. It's always a matter of pride, but to say, to push out, to appear bigger in the sight of other people, or to cover over our fragility or our brokenness, whether it's done in weakness or in perceived strength, he's pushing out, his ego-inflating self is pushing out, what am I earning by doing this? Surely, like, so Jesus, you're calling us to go all in on you. I'm going all in on you. I'm going all in on the winning hand. What am I getting for it? Think about it the wrong way. Think about it completely the wrong way. The glory and good of following Jesus is to follow Jesus. So if you want something else, go and do something else. The good that we attain from following Jesus is the good of following Jesus. We get Jesus. What else do you want? And this is the problem, right? This is the first and last. It's like, go ahead, go and be first in all the vain pursuits of the world. Go and run as fast and as far down all of the different dead end streets that are available to you. What's the point? You have to turn around and come back and then go the way of life. Go the way of Christ Jesus. Go the way of generous love. That's all we have. The question, it has to go deep into us. What are we going for? What are we going for in our lives? And good for us if we find ourselves nothing. I don't want to say that. We find ourselves poor and despised and the rest. Why? Because we at least will know that we weren't in it for the riches. We'll find ourselves hungry. Good. We know that we weren't in it for the banquet, right? The food. It's like we'll be led astray by our stomachs. We're led astray by, you know, every part of ourselves, right? But we want to be in it for God. We want to be in it simply for the cause of generous love, his cause, God's cause, that now is again in and through his faithful people is seeking to restore the world. And the restoration of the world means turning the world right side up, because things are upside down. So I want to push back then into the Beatitudes, right? And say, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who are not profiting from a world that is upside down. Because when God works to put the world right side up, that's the reversal of fortunes, right? Rich today in an upside down world, very poor in a world turned right side up. Poor today for the right reason, poor today because we refuse to do anything but follow God. Poor today because we will follow Jesus willingly into poverty. Follow Jesus because we will simply follow Jesus. Right? Poor today because that's our only ambition, is to follow Jesus. We have no ambition for wealth. We have no ambition for pleasure. Our ambition is to follow Jesus. Poor today in the ways and the matters and the things of the world, because we prioritize Jesus in all things. Rich beyond our wildest imagination, because we have Christ Jesus. Because we in fact have the blessing of God. Because we have everything that he wants to give us. Hearts wide open to his generous love, and embodying that generous love for his world that so desperately needs it.